Ezekiel 34, 1 through 16. And these passages we'll see, again, as God himself takes on the role of shepherd, as the under-shepherds have failed him. God promises that he will be our great shepherd. Let us read the word of God. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered, on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of God. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Thus the word of the Lord. I'd like to welcome Dr. David Terry again to the pulpit to bring us some Word of God. Me and David go back a long way to grade school. In fact, I was in grade school with his sister. David was a couple years behind me. Somebody named Eisenhower was president in his first term back then. So we go back quite a while. But welcome, David, and bring us the Word of God. Thank you.
It is a blessing to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come. It's wonderful to see so many precious faces I know and love. Would you turn with me in our Bibles to our scripture lesson, please? It is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. John 10, 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Dear Lord, we thank you for your holy word this day. We pray that you'd enable us by your grace to lay aside all our thoughts and feelings and help us to, by your grace, receive with meekness your implanted word. We would grow by it in our faith in you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word would not return to you void, but accomplish what you see fit in our hearts and lives this day. In Jesus' name, amen. When we read of our Lord's life in the Gospels, we're struck with a very hard reality that Jesus taught truth in the midst of a lot of real conflict. He constantly had to deal with false religious leaders called Pharisees and Sadducees who harmed God's people. This wonderful chapter with this wonderful, beautiful truth in it comes from the context and must be seen from the context of chapter 9, where our Lord performs a miracle of healing a man born blind, and then the man was thrown out of the synagogue because people were concerned that he would confess that Jesus was Christ the Messiah. Jesus confronted this falsehood in verse 39 of chapter 9, which is our context. He says, "For judgment I came to this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." He then, after that statement to both the blind man and the Pharisees, Jesus then makes a solemn statement of truth to all of them, which we should take very seriously as his people. There are two places in this scripture today that Jesus gives us these important words. He says in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, the Lord begins that statement to the Pharisees by saying, "Truly, truly." It's translated, it's a Hebraism, an Aramaic statement. We sometimes translate, "Amen, amen." It's often translated, "It is true, it is true." Jesus uses this kind of introduction 25 times in the Gospel of John to mark off solemn statements of great significance. It marks the words as uttered by the Lord. So what does our Lord assert? He contrasts false teachers and leaders from genuine shepherds. It's the same imagery that was used in Ezekiel 34 and several other passages in the Old Testament, like Jeremiah 23, which refer to religious leaders as shepherds and the Lord as the true shepherd. The Lord uses an image of a common sight in Israel
to illustrate the difference between what is evil and what is good, saying that false shepherds do not enter the sheepfold by the proper way, but true shepherds use the door of the fold so as to enter the enclosure in a way that doesn't frighten his sheep. This contrast is in the form of what's called a paroima. It's not a parable. It's a figurative saying which uses a metaphor, an implied comparison about the Lord as a shepherd and us as sheep, to make a very important point. Jesus gives his people simple facts concerning the herding of sheep in Palestine and applies them to actual events and people. Now, everyone knew in the ancient world that sheep were protected at night by walled enclosures with tall walls and no roof, with one entrance, either a strong wooden door or an opening where someone guarded that opening all night. And behind that door, all the people in the village who would bring their sheep at night and put them into that enclosure, and they would all be in that safe place with a guard to protect them from predators. The door was a means of access to the sheep to get them both in and out. And the metaphor, we should remember always, is the Lord often refers to us as his sheep. We read Psalm 23. All of us know it. But when he says the Lord is my shepherd, who are we? We are the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We got to remember the symbols, but not overstate them. But we need to listen to what he says. Now, he then describes the false and true shepherds, saying that false shepherds don't access God's people by the means provided. And Jesus described them negatively as thieves, signifying they were dishonest and by fraud steal what is not theirs to own. He called them robbers, which implies those who steal by violent means. But I'm going to look at the positive side. And what Jesus says here to describe a true shepherd is a blessing. It says, Jesus says, his sheep know his voice. The gatekeeper opens the door for him to enter the enclosure. The gatekeeper knows that he's legitimate. His sheep know his voice. He knows his sheep so intimately that he calls them by name. You know what it means when someone calls you by your name? Because they have a respect and a regard for you. And then the good shepherd leads his sheep out of the enclosure to pasture. Now, when he's brought out his own, Jesus said, he goes before them and his sheep follow them, for they know his voice. Now, this ancient image of an Eastern shepherd portrays the relationship of shepherd and sheep in a very intimate way. The true shepherd did not drive his sheep. He called them out and led them by his voice. Now, I saw a movie the other day on Mustangs, and there was a helicopter flying around the Mustangs, chasing and herding them into the corral. We went to Iceland this year, and Donna heard of horses that are used in Iceland to herd sheep into pens. And all of us are very familiar with the Australian sheepdogs that are so beautiful, that are so responsive to bring sheep and put them in the pen. But this is a different image entirely. They drive sheep. The scripture says, and Jesus says, this ancient practice was to lead sheep by his voice. And note the response the sheep have to false and true shepherds. Jesus says, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, they do not know the voice of strangers. And then he says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Well, there are several things in this passage. There have been a lot of people writing all kinds of things of the imagery in this passage. The surface meanings of these words are quite true. They're quite inspirational, actually. But Jesus is saying something very deep. And people were blind initially to what he was talking about. So he explained the meaning of it to them. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, He will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. In this second solemn statement of truly, truly, the Lord refers to himself as the door for his people. If the sheep are God's people, Jesus says he's the one that brings them both into that fold enclosure and out into pasture. He is the one. Gives entrance to the safety of God's fold and who leads the sheep out of the fold for the blessing of safe pasture. This is a statement that's not often emphasized. We don't look at this and say, Jesus is the door when we praise him quite often. We really don't. But when Jesus says, I am the door, it's as strong a claim as when he says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You talk about meat for the table. That's what Jesus claimed to be. If there was only one door in any sheepfold, no matter how many people own sheep, there was only one way in and one way out. And Jesus says he is the proper egress for his people. So what does it mean that Jesus is a door? I mean, you think about that and you scratch your head and say, well, you know, why is this important to me? Well, a lot of people look at a lot of symbols in the text, but I'd like to look at just what Jesus says. What does Jesus say about him being the door? He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Three things our Lord does. First, he saves us. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Remember that passage? No one comes to the Father but by me. The only way, the only name given under heaven whereby we may be saved is Jesus Christ. And he is the only means of egress we have to heaven whatsoever. And he, anyone who enters a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the scripture says he will be saved. Salvation is given to those who trust in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The apostles, when they preached in Acts 16, said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Salvation was the purpose for which our Lord came to earth. Now, all of us know John 3:16, where God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But the next verse said by Jesus, verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This word to be saved, sozo, it means to deliver, to protect, or to make whole. And it's a comprehensive term for referring to the whole process by which the people of God are delivered from sin and brought into the family of God and have eternal life. So Jesus first is our Savior. And I encourage anyone in this room who has not accepted the Lord as your Savior to do so, to ask him to lead you, to be your Savior. But he also does, he doesn't just save us, he leads us. Look at the verse. The rest of the verse is this. He will go out and come in. This simply means the sheep who trust in Christ will have free and secure movement, liberty to move in safety. It's a Hebraism. It's beautiful. It's a warm description of using a house as a home from which we go on in and out in freedom. Well, when my daughter was a little girl and I was working in graduate school, I was writing papers. And I would be sitting in my study working on papers. My daughter, she would want me to read to her. I'd read to her. And then she'd want to play games and she'd play on the floor, right? Well, she suddenly would get up after a while and say, I'm going to go and come back. And she leaves the room and goes into her little room, opens the box of toys, brings in Bert and Ernie, and comes in and sits and plays with Bert and Ernie with me. That was going and come back. And it was a place of security. She knew where she was. She knew where her room was. She knew where I was. And she was there in safety. So this go in and go out. Is that important in the Bible? Well, I would say to you, absolutely yes. Absolutely, yes. Just look with me for a second. Indulge me in looking at Numbers. Numbers chapter 27, verse 16 and 17. The Lord says in Numbers 27, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. There is an association of a real shepherd with leading us in and out. And that in and out is into an enclosure at night where you're safe and can sleep. When we were children, we sang, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wash and guide me through the night and wake me with the morning light." The Lord takes us in our sleep and gives us safety there, but then he wakes us in the morning and he takes us out and he leads us by his voice in his word to a place where we can grow and be nourished. You know, Psalm 121, verse 8, says something very similar about going out and coming in that matters, that Jesus leads us in our life. Psalm 121 says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Now, my child felt very comfortable with Daddy in the room, and she could go where she needed to go because Daddy was there. She wasn't afraid. She was happy. Do you know, as a Christian, we can be happy if we recognize Jesus as our leader, not just our Savior? That we listen to his voice, we put ourselves to bed with prayer to him, and then when we get up in the morning, we have devotions, we read what he says in his word, we listen to what he teaches us, and we follow the guidance he gives us. The guidance he gives us. Jesus is our leader as well, if we listen to his voice. But also Jesus is not only our Savior, does not only lead us, he also feeds us. He gives us sustenance. It says, Jesus said, they will go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is a place that we read in God's Word a couple of times today. It's a place where the sheep find food. They find water. They find all that sustains life, and they run and jump. They have a life. They're out playing in that place. If they're led by a shepherd and the shepherd is there protecting them and they are following his voice. Now, granted, there are all kinds of problems that can happen to sheep if they don't listen to the voice of the shepherd. And he talked about that in the passage in Ezekiel, about binding their wounds and finding the ones that are lost. But in general, what will happen to a believer who believes Jesus as their Savior, who allows him to lead them by his word in devotions each day, is that we will also find our life's blessing, our growth, our maturity, our becoming all that God has called us to be. Because Jesus cares for his sheep. He doesn't just save us so we go to heaven. He can lead us and he can guide us. He can feed us and he can help us grow to be what we're supposed to be. This is an incredible contrast between false religious leaders of the Lord's day and himself. He says the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. The purpose of false teachers, the Pharisees, was to take from and harm the people of God. But Jesus, by great contrast, came to earth for the purpose of giving us eternal life. He says in John 3:16 to us, but he also says, Paul writes, what no eye has seen or ear heard, nor the tongue of heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. God is capable of giving us abundant life. I think there's the rub and the conviction of how we really bloom. If we let Jesus lead us, we can grow into a joyous, abundant walk and have that life. that is abundant. The Lord says in John 1 that Jesus came to earth filled with grace and truth. And I'm telling you today, he has more grace and truth than anybody could ever imagine. He has more goodness to bless his people with. He is the exact opposite of false religious teachers who came to take from, to kill or destroy God's people. In contrast, Jesus gives life, not death, abundance, not loss, to those who hear his voice and respond to his call of repentance and faith in him. Jesus makes a great second claim in this passage. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus tells us that in the Greek, it is the good, the shepherd. It uses two articles. Why? Because he wanted them to understand that good was just as important a word as shepherd. The good, the shepherd. Well, what is the good? The word here, kalos, it basically, if you look up the Greek, it basically means beautiful. But here in this passage, it means excellent. Jesus is the ideal, genuine, unique, excellent shepherd who is not only the door, the entrance way for salvation and life, but as the shepherd promised in Ezekiel 34:15, when the Lord says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. That is what the Lord as our shepherd will do for us. What does Jesus specifically in this text promise to do as our shepherd? He says here, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Matthew 20:26, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to serve, but to give his life as a ransom for many. To lay down your life is to voluntarily sacrifice yourself for others. The astonishing promise made here by the Lord is the foundation of Christian salvation. Instead of a sacrificial offering of a lamb at Passover, Jesus is the blood sacrifice who offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin in his own sacrifice. This act our Lord did voluntarily for a singular purpose. There is no other blood sacrifice by death in history that brings life to others. Other shepherds may die trying to protect their sheep, but when the shepherd is killed by the wolf, they leave the sheep in danger from being exposed to predators who would harm and inflict death upon them. However, Jesus does not leave us vulnerable by his sacrifice on our behalf. We have been promised that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I strongly encourage you to read all of John 10 this summer. Look at everything our Lord Jesus says in it about him being our shepherd. If I could give you a teaser, a taste, look at verse 27 of this wonderful word. Verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What a statement. What an incredible promise. Jesus is the most unique person in all of human history. He alone is the door, the one who opens and makes salvation available to us, who will protect us and keep us safe at night or at day, with predators around or not. He will sustain and nourish those who listen to his voice and hears his words and do them. He alone is the good, unique, and excellent shepherd who voluntarily laid down his life to save us from all sin. Can we rejoice today as Christians Rejoice that he is our Savior. Rejoice that he is our leader. Rejoice that we can come in and out in freedom if we depend upon him. Rejoice that we have pasture, that we are provided for. If we pray for the job, God will provide the job. Remember, I asked, told you before I left 2 years ago, we were praying for our daughter, finally, to get a tenure track position as a professor. When she finally finished her contract, we had 4 months of praying every single meal, every single day for our baby to get her job. And God, in his wonderful mercy, answered our prayer and gave Elizabeth a tenure track job, not in Texas or California, but in Florida, where her mom and dad live. Because God answers prayer. Justin, Karen, Lisa's been praying for you for years, having a baby, providing that blessing. God has provided that blessing because he is your Lord. He loves you and he answers prayer for his people. We have so much incredible reality to be grateful for. So let's rejoice today that our Lord is our Savior. And the one conviction we should walk out of the room with is each of us should be convicted to listen to our Lord's voice. When he speaks to us in his word, when we open our devotions, read the Gospel of John, listen to what our Lord says, and then be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Let him lead you by his word, and he will take you to places of growth, and he will take you to places of maturity, and he will take you to places of provision, and you will be fulfilled as God's people. But we need to let him lead us each day. We need to listen for his voice and let him take us out of the safety zone of our sleep, out into the world. Let him provide for us according to his riches in glory. May we listen for his voice. May we honor him as our Savior, our leader, and the person who sustains us. The one who cares for what happens to us and whether we live a good life. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What a wonderful Lord we have. Dear precious and holy Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for these familiar sentences. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to be our Savior, to be our leader, to be our guide. Forgive us for the times that we have not listened to what your word says to us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be better Christians this week than we were last. Help us to listen to what you say in your gospels and walk it out. And help us, Lord, by your grace, to trust you more, not only for the protection of our lives in eternity, but for your guidance in our life here and now in the world you send us into. Help us, Lord, we pray, each of us, to fulfill our ministries and help us truly follow you as your disciples. Help us listen better, Lord, and help us to follow you. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've wanted to go out on our own, wanted to do what we wanted to do. Help us do, Lord, this week what you want us to do. Guide us, Lord, we pray, that we might be more fulfilled in our lives and that you would be pleased by our obedience. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray this day that if the one person who has not accepted you as their shepherd and as their Savior, this morning they would believe your word and trust in you for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, save them, lead them, and feed their souls, that they might have fulfillment as well. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for hearing and answering our prayers and for this, your holy word this day. In Jesus' name, amen.